What say we lock down the Oregon fuel injection hotline, get the view from the middle, and you don't need to reset your clocks. It's still a Wednesday. It's just 4. Our guest still crushing it for USA Today. Online, usatoday.com, the red section of the publication. If you're on Twitter, check him out via the handle at George Schroeder. George, a good day to you, sir. How are things?
How are you?
I'm good.
I'm good. How are you?
I'm doing great. So, last week you mentioned that we kind of hit that time, you know, just before Labor Day until that Monday in January. College football is all consuming. And then, you know, you decompress, some golf, others climb mountains. Is there a particular method George Schroeder uses to put the wraps on another season, kind of relax and recharge the batteries?
There's not a whole lot of relaxing and recharging the batteries. There's all sorts of nutty stuff going on, you know? I would like to, and in fact, I had not written a ton for USA Today in the last week or so, but you've got quarterbacks transferring. We now have this era of free agency. You've got still had the coaching carousel ongoing for a while. It's in fact, today I was working on Oklahoma getting Jalen Hurts, and then Oklahoma deciding not to let, at least for a while, not to let the backup quarterback, a grad transfer, transfer away immediately to West Virginia, which seemed to me to be a contradiction.
Yeah, I think we've got an update on that. They've released him. Did I see that right? It was kind of hitting just as we were heading on the air.
Yeah. That's exactly right. I was able to break the news that Oklahoma has agreed to grant the waiver, which will allow Austin Kendall, the backup quarterback, to be immediately eligible as a graduate transfer at West Virginia. You can't block kids from going anywhere they want anymore, but in the case of a grad transfer, it has always required a waiver from the former school to let them be immediately eligible, and that is still there. And so Oklahoma was not going to give them the waiver. But clearly, that the optics of that were not going to work out for them. There was a backlash after ESPN reported that situation today, and Oklahoma quickly backed away from that stance.
You know, George, you put something out on Twitter today, and of course, you know, many, many people from here remember your time in Eugene and the amazing story of the birth of your youngest child, Christopher, and the, you know, the frightening circumstances your family faced. You noted today, January 16th, 2019, it's kind of an incredible anniversary. And I know you've been hearing from a lot of people, but for those who were tuning in and, you know, enjoyed your work and got to know you here, what does today mean, and how's the little guy doing?
Well, first of all, thank you very much. He's doing really well. The heart, 9 years later, beats just like it did when they first installed it, and the surgeon came back out of the operating room and said it was the happiest heart he'd ever seen, which immediately made Christopher's mom and dad's hearts very happy too. And so we're thankful to God for the answer to prayer. And I always want to say this, and I don't just say it because I feel like I have to say it, I mean it. When we prayed that Christopher would get a heart transplant, we also knew where that would come from, and we knew what it meant. And so we have not yet, and I hope one day we will, be able to meet the family of the donor. And obviously, that somebody lost an infant or a small child, which is what allowed us to have our son to have the gift of life. And so, I pray for them, and I'm so grateful that they would do that in the middle of unfathomable tragedy. But it's a big milestone day every time this anniversary comes, and it just makes me thankful.
Yeah, I remember you talk about, you know, bad things happen, but just the incredible outpouring of support that you received from a community like this. I mean, it, knock on wood, it's been 9 years, but it's amazing how it still sticks in your mind after 9 years.
Well, yeah, that's exactly right. And listen, there are so many people in and around Eugene and Springfield who keep up with Christopher and ask me about Christopher, and when I'm back in town or if I see people, and I really do appreciate it. The way the community embraced our family is something that I don't think I could have even imagined. You know, and obviously nobody wants to go through that.
Right.
But what a neat thing to see how caring the community was. And look, I wrote things when I was at the Register Guard that sometimes you'll be surprised with that people didn't agree with.
No way.
I'm sure sometimes I was wrong and sometimes I was right and sometimes this, that, or the other. But there were people who probably never thought I wrote anything that they liked at all, who would come up to me and say, you know what, we're praying for your son, or we're pulling for you, or man, how's Christopher? And I can't tell you how grateful I am to the people of Eugene and Springfield. Well, you guys are terrific. And so let me just say this. I can't tell you how thankful, but thank you.
Well, the little man's got a million-dollar smile. It's a beautiful thing.
Thank you.
A major topic in recent years, you mentioned transfer quarterbacks. It is college free agency. And double dose today. First of all, and I know you were joking about it on Twitter, but when I first heard the term transfer portal, I thought it was like being John Malkovich or, was it you that said something about Doc Brown and his DeLorean?
Yeah, no, listen, it feels like 1955 is where you go when you emerge from the portal. Now, let's be honest, all these graduate transfer quarterbacks are suddenly emerging from the portal, and as it turns out, they're emerging onto other big-time college campuses is what's happening. But what I still don't know is, what are they doing when they're in the portal? Where are they? Did Austin Kendall, the Oklahoma backup quarterback, and Jalen Hurts, the former Alabama backup quarterback, did they pass while in the portal? And did they notice each other, or is it like some foggy place where you just don't really know what's going on? I mean, it feels like another dimension, doesn't it?
Absolutely. It's like roads. We don't need roads. We're in the portal.
Exactly.
Some guys look at a situation, and if it's not immediately suitable, they bolt. I look at Jalen Hurts. You know, he loses his starting job, but he sticks around and ends up playing a role in Alabama, getting back to the title game, and now he's Oklahoma bound. Any admiration for a guy who kind of hung in there, and now he ends up with what I think is a terrific opportunity?
Yeah, listen, I think it's an interesting move. So obviously he visited Maryland, where Mike Locksley, the former offensive coordinator at Alabama, is the new head coach. He visited Miami, where the former quarterbacks coach, Dan Enos, from Alabama, is the new offensive coordinator. And either of those places would have been interesting. But the one that makes the most sense, I think, probably is Oklahoma on both ends. First of all, let's just go with Oklahoma. They needed a bridge, if possible, between Kyler Murray, who's obviously off to the NFL or Major League Baseball or the pro bowling or somewhere, but he's going somewhere to do something, between Kyler Murray and potentially not 2019 but 2020, when they've got a kid coming in June who's, depending on what recruiting ranking you look at, Spencer Rattler out of the Phoenix area is maybe the top quarterback in this year's recruiting class. But he's not coming till June, which is a little bit different than these days when you're expecting him to come in and enroll early. So the idea that he would be ready to play in 2019 as the starter is a little harder to come up with, even if he has all the requisite things that you need to have to be able to pull that off as a freshman, and most guys don't. Most guys aren't Trevor Lawrence, right? Most guys aren't Jalen Hurts as a true freshman at Alabama. So they needed a bridge. And on the other hand, Jalen Hurts needs a place where he can prove he can pass the football. And I think you get the reins of an offense that produced the last two Heisman Trophy winners. Lincoln Riley has shown he has a way with developing quarterbacks. And I think it makes a ton of sense. And by the way, well, they've won four straight Big 12 championships and been in the playoff three out of 5 years. I think that's right. Three out of five, the last 5 years. So potentially you could find your way back to the top of college football, and I'm sure he's not thinking about this, but, you know, what if he were to face off with his old team at some point? That's not out of the question, right? I mean,
no.
I think Oklahoma has a lot of issues to address before that, but I just think it made a ton of sense. And the last thing I will say about it is, last spring, Jalen Hurts' dad told Bleacher Report that if he decided to transfer, and of course the thought was that would be in the summertime or something, he would be the biggest free agent in the history of the sport. Now, there haven't been many, but I don't think there's any question he's clearly the biggest free agent, quote-unquote, in the history of college football.
Oh, I like that one. We mentioned Kyler Murray, who obviously is now serious about the NFL, maybe looking to get more of a commitment from the Oakland A's. And, you know, he's a Sooner. He's right there in your backyard. Kind of curious is the kind of coverage it's getting in Norman, and are the fans, like, kind of saying, go play baseball, go play football, or are they just following the story?
I think everybody's intrigued to see him play football, but they're just following the story. I mean, here's the thing, though. If you're an Oklahoma fan, you need to kind of go back and watch what he did all year and take another look at it, because I was talking with Andy Staples from Sports Illustrated earlier today, and I think he was so spectacular that at a certain point it became routine. And Andy was listing some of the throws he made, and I was like, "You're right. I'd forgotten about those." Because, you know, I'm obviously all over the country at different games, and so sometimes you only see highlights.
Right.
I think it was as fantastic a season as anybody's had.
I would not debate you on that. I watched a lot of Oklahoma, and he made plays, and just like it seemed like whatever they needed offensively, he had. And I know it sounds crazy, 100% of the time. I think history will look back at this season and challenge others to duplicate it, if that makes sense.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, Tua Tagovailoa had a routinely spectacular year too. So. And then I think if you want to ask somebody to match it, I think we have a kid named Trevor Lawrence at Clemson who might match it at
right.
some point, you know, like next year and the year after. But it was, and I guess we're also now in an era where we can see quarterbacks do this, right? They're more highly skilled than they've ever been before, and the game has opened up offensively like never before. And so I think that sort of lends itself to those kinds of, not just statistically, but even just sort of the performances that make you go, wow, when you see them.
A couple final thoughts for George Schroeder of USA Today. Another grad transfer on the move, Brandon Wimbush, Notre Dame, Central Florida. I mean, he was a really good quarterback for the Irish. Got favored, benched in favor of Ian Book. And, of course, Central Florida lost Mackenzie Milton. So, like we were talking about Oklahoma and Hurts, this looks like a really nice fit both ways.
Yeah, I think so. Listen, I think the thing with Brandon Wimbush, what it signals to me, unfortunately, at first, is that Mackenzie Milton is not going to be ready to play
right.
this year. We all hope that after that horrific injury, leg injury, that he'll be able to play again sometime. And I'm not sure that that is completely known. But I don't think it's going to be, he's certainly not going to be full strength in 2019, I think is what we learned right there. So I think it's a nice move. And Brandon Wimbush, let me just ask you this. When a guy who was a really good but not great Notre Dame quarterback, and you're right, it's similar to the Jalen Hurts situation in terms of what he's good at and why and how he was supplanted and why by Ian Book. But when a really good but not great Notre Dame quarterback decides to leave and the place he goes is UCF, I think it's time for us to recognize UCF has come up in the world of perception.
Yeah, you want to talk about one has a history that seems to date back about 24 months. The other one is college football's history. It's really the opposite end of the spectrum. Wow, that's a good point. I didn't even think about that.
Well, I mean, seriously, you're talking about the bluest of blue bloods in terms of tradition. And, you know, we can argue that back and forth. Is it Notre Dame? Is it Alabama? Is it Michigan? Is it Oklahoma? Is it USC? But you're talking about the upper tier of everything all the time, and you know, versus a Johnny come lately from the Group of Five, and I don't mean that in any derogatory way towards UCF. It just is what it is, you know. But I just think it says everything about where UCF has come in such a short time since Scott Frost. There's our Oregon connection for the purposes of the conversation. Since Scott Frost took them from 0-12 to respectable to unbeaten 2 seasons ago.
No, it's an amazing story. And one last thing, George. I obviously we'll be talking a lot of college football. But when you and I talk about the NFL, it's in passing. I just think, as somebody who's been an NFL junkie for going on a half a century, this has been one of my all-time favorite seasons. But the old guard this coming weekend, Brady and Breeze against Mahomes and Goff. I mean, the writer in you, you just have to look at that as, those are pretty compelling storylines, no?
Yeah, no question. I mean, what if we get the Rams and Chiefs in the Super Bowl? Would you not be excited?
Oh,
in terms
yeah.
of just the offenses
yeah.
and the quarterbacks? That's kind of what I'm hoping for, and that has nothing to do with the fact that I might or might not be a guy who never wants the Patriots to ever win anything, which means I'm routinely frustrated. Has nothing to do with that. But no, listen, this is a really good conference championship set of matchups. I'm excited about it, and as you know, I'm much more of a college football fan than I am an NFL fan.
Sure.
But I will say this. I sure hope the games are better than they were routinely last weekend. Those were disappointing.
Absolutely. Wild card weekend gave us a build-up, and then the divisional round was supposed to be the greatest thing since sliced bread, and it kind of fell on its face. So hopefully this will be a championship Sunday to remember. Folks, he's George Schroeder, USAtoday.com, the red section of the paper. On Twitter, it's at George Schroeder. George, so glad all things are going well. We always appreciate your time. Look forward to it. Have a magnificent week, and we'll catch up next Wednesday.
Hey, thank you. Talk to you soon.
All right, take it easy.